Whether you are joining us online or you're here in the sanctuary, welcome to First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin. We are a community that is dedicated to a free and responsible search for truth and meaning and beauty. I'm Reverend Carrie Holly Hurt, the assistant minister here. It is truly a joy to be with you here today. This is Volunteer Appreciation Service, and I am so excited to celebrate our volunteers because they really do keep this church alive. So welcome. Welcome to First Unitarian Universalist Church. And if you are new, we especially want to welcome you. We also want to get to know you better. If you are joining us remotely and you can, please say hello and tell us where you're viewing from. If you're here in person, let's join us in Housen Hall for some refreshments. Either way, we invite you to fill out the online visitor form at austinuu.org. Simply click on worship, and that will take you to a form that you can fill out. We really, really want to get to know you better, because here we welcome everyone, every beginning and every path, every beautiful expression of human flowering, all pronouns, all the ways and ones you love, all abilities and disabilities. Each and every one of you, you are welcome here. And now we come from a long tradition of seeing the divine in each and every one of us. It's in that tradition that I'd like to invite you to greet the holy among us.
Feel. Hello again. My name is Dana Quick. I'm your lay leader today. And we'll say the words by which we light our chalice, which will appear on the screen. This is the flame we hold in our hearts as we strive for justice for everyone. This is the light we shine upon systems of oppression until they are no more. This is the warmth we share with one another as our struggle becomes our salvation. Our call to worship this morning is the River Call by Reverend Manish Mishra Marzetti. Between rocking the boat and sitting down, between stirring things up and peaceably going along, we find ourselves here in community, each called from many different journeys, life paths, onto this river road. Some are here because the rocking of the boat has been too much tumult, too much uncertainty, too much pain. Some are here with questions about where the boat is going, how best to steer it, and where this journey ends. Others are here as lovers of the journey, lovers of life itself. Here in front, beside, behind, each passenger is a captain, doing the best we can. Rest here in your boat with me, the river calls. Listen to how I flow, the sound of life coursing all around you. Let the current hold you, let the current guide you. The river that gently flows through your soul whispers, come, let us worship.
So one of the things that binds us together as a religious community is that our congregation has a common purpose. For First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin, that common purpose is our mission. The congregation wrote it together, and then we put it in the wall of the sanctuary so that we can say it every Sunday and hopefully carry it in our heart throughout the week. Let's say it together now. Together, we nourish souls, transform lives, and build justice to build the beloved community.
I think about that day I left him at a Greyhound station west of Santa Fe. We were 17, but it was sweet and it was true. Still, I did what I had to do, 'cause I just knew. Summer Sunday nights, we'd sink into our seats right as they dimmed out all the lights. A technicolor world made out of music and machine. It called me to be on that screen and live inside each scene. Without a nickel to my name, hopped a bus, here I came. Could be brave or just insane, we'll have to see.
'Cause maybe in that sleepy town, you'll sit one day, the lights are down. He'll see my face and think of how he used to know me. I'm reaching for the heights and chasing all the lights that shine. And when they let you down, see Mike and neon glow are all I need.
Someday as I sing my song, a small town kid will come along. That'll be the thing to push him on and go. Climb these hills, I'm reaching for the heights and chasing all the lights that shine. And when they let you down, you know that old world's around. And the morning rolls around.
we have, can you hear me? Yeah. Now we have a special time for all ages. If there are any kiddos who want to come up and help me, I have an important job I need some help with. All right, so today is Volunteer Appreciation Day, okay, which means that for all those people that do all the work that keep this church alive, like these great singers over here, we want them to feel so appreciated, okay? Because it's a really big deal, the work that they do. And so in a moment, Reverend Chris is going to celebrate them, and he wants your help, because when he says thank you, he really wants them to hear it, okay? So what's going to happen is I'm going to hold up a sign when it's time for us to say thank you, and I want you to say thank you.
We are a people of a living tradition, a tradition that we keep alive through expanding our understanding of the world and one another, by growing spiritually, by connecting to one another, by accompanying one another through all the transforming work of life. We truly do nourish one another, do the work of transforming lives, ours and others, and the work of building the beloved community here and outside these church walls. And all of this is made possible by those of you who volunteer. You make it possible to keep this living tradition and this church alive. I am so grateful for your commitment. Thank you. From all of you that sing in the choir or play music so that we can experience fun and transcendence, thank you. To those of you that organize and facilitate small groups and religious education programs so that we can grow spiritually, thank you. For those that take on the hard work of church administration and governance, like in our stewardship committee and our board of trustees, thank you. To our church staff and Reverend Carey, who volunteer so much time and effort above and beyond the call of duty, I sometimes think their job description should simply say, other duties as assigned, thank you. To those of you that make it your business to care for those who need a little extra care, thank you. For those of you that help keep House and Hall clean after coffee hour and who make snacks, thank you. To those that help connect us with one another and help us to find ways to engage with the church, thank you. To the religious education teachers, thank you. To those that help keep us safe, thank you. To those that do logistical and technical work for services so that others, like me, don't have to think about it, thank you. To all of you that do the million big and small things that keep this congregation alive, nourished, and held, thank you. May you be blessed just as you are a blessing. Thank you.
Our reading this morning is The Butterfly Effect by Reverend Soto. I wish the knowledge were easier to come by, that individualism is just a scam, that you are always the butterfly wings. You are always the storm. Edward Lorenz, a weather scientist from MIT, is sometimes misquoted on this as the premise that the flap of a butterfly wing can cause a hurricane in a different part of the world. Shorthand, that isn't all that close to a representation of the math-turned-weather scientist's work. He proposed that should we make even a tiny alteration to nature, we will never know what would have happened if we had not disturbed it, since subsequent changes are too complex and entangled to restore to a previous state, which is to say that you have an immeasurable effect on the system. It will change, and you will shape its DNA. You must not believe the lying lie that you do not matter, that whatever change you can organize is so insufficient as to not be worthy of your time, your energy, your life force. You must be willing to dream a dream that carries forward to your community. This is how we rise. This day is polluted with a mistrust of truth, fertile and warm medium for unchecked cruelty and power. You must choose to scream the truth until every leaf and stone bears unrepentant witness to what happens when you try to cage and smash, to pin and frame a butterfly and their thousands and thousands of fabulous, flamboyant friends.
Now is the time in our service where we breathe together, where we center and ground ourselves together. And in breathing together, we can sense one another's loving presence. As we breathe together, I encourage us to hold those in our community that are either holding great joy or experiencing sorrow. And as we continue to breathe together, I invite you to hold your own joy, like that of this beautiful earth that's been awoken by so much rain. And if it feels safe to do so, you can hold the sorrow, anything you might have come in here with. Know that you are safe and you are held and you are loved. As we continue to breathe, we will enter into a time of music and sacred quietness, remembering that we can also hold sounds of small children and even adults. Let us hold our meditative state even once the music ends.
After sunlit days, one thing stays the same, rises the moon.
Days fade into a watercolor blur. Memories swim and haunt you. But look into the lake, shimmering like smoke, rises the moon. Tread the water, child, and know that meanwhile rises the moon.
Days bloom just like a daffodil, uprooted from its garden. They'll tell you what you owe, but no, even so, rises the moon.
Breathe, breathe, breathe.
last candle for all those who have no one to light a candle for them. How many of you have ever found yourself in a position to try to explain Unitarian Universalism to the uninitiated? Yeah. It's so hard, isn't it? Like, I have a whole master's degree, and it's still kind of hard. I'm always afraid that I'm not conveying the nuance and the beauty that we are. And my biggest fear is that people will somehow get the idea that there is no there, right? That we're just, I don't know, got nothing really going on, nothing really to hang on to. And unfortunately, I do think too many people have this idea because I hear them say, oh yeah, that's the church where you can just do, think, be anything. And I get it. I mean, we are a people without a creed. You're not going to hear the Nicene Creed here. The Council of Nicaea did not go well for us, so not going to have a creed. We have no common deity or even one way in which we come into our own search for truth and meaning and beauty. We are proper pluralists. We are a church made up of atheists and theists and pagans and humanists. We are a hyphenated people. UU and Muslim, UU and Jewish, UU and Buddhist. We come from different places and generations and worldviews, and somehow we keep showing up. No deed, no creed, and let's face it, no promise of eternal reward or threat of punishment. And we come back. We come back time and time again, just as generations before us have. And not only do we keep coming back, so many of you make it possible for us to come back to something. This is because we do have really strong common beliefs, like that we all matter, that it is right and good that we all have a voice in how we function. Quick plug for the pre-congregational meeting today at 1:00. We share a common belief that growth, either spiritually or personally, is a good thing, that connection is a good thing, and that it is right and good to have accountability to one another. Unitarian Universalism is set up on the premise that all of that is true. We are a congregationalist polity. I promise I won't bore you. A congregationalist polity just means that the way we are organized is that the members of this church are responsible for it. There is no equivalent of the Vatican or Council of Elders, no one to direct us, no one to plop a minister here, no one to bail us out. The members of this church direct the culture and the focus. We work together to create our mission and our values and our what we're going to prioritize. And Reverend Chris and I help guide that process and make sure systems are in place for all that work to happen. Now, a cynical person might look at what I laid out and say, so you have nothing really strongly to hold you together like hell or heaven, and you have all of this responsibility. What's the upside? I am so glad you asked, fictional, cynical person. It's because of what we get from this church and from one another. Now, some of you were lucky enough to grow up UU. You were born straight into a religious tradition that saw that divine spark inside of you from day one. And some of us came here because we wanted a church home, but not one that hurt us like the last, not one that rejected us. Some of you might have had a perfectly healthy upbringing. Congratulations. But maybe your religious tradition just didn't align with you anymore. And some of you might not have known about church much at all, but knew you were seeking a place of shelter with like-hearted people. And some of you have stories I haven't heard yet, but I would love to. I think most of all, we came here because we wanted something bigger than ourselves. Something that we could, somewhere we could come and really have a free and responsible search for truth and meaning, all in community. And that is why, at least I hope that is what you have found. And if you have found it, it is because of the engagement and the work of the people in this church that have given not only of their treasure, but of their time and their talent, who have volunteered in religious education, who facilitate small groups and monthly groups, who sit on committees and look at Excel sheets until they just cannot look at Excel sheets anymore. Board members and the stewardship committee that keep us solid. It's the people that clean off the table in Housen Hall so that place is inviting and welcoming. It's the counting and depositing of the offering Monday after Monday and year after year. It's the greeter and the ushers and the choir members and all of those that make beautiful music for us to enjoy. It's the people that show up to paint our sidewalk. It's the caring companions and those that set up caring bridges. It's the person who hangs back after service to straighten the backs of the chairs and the pews. It is so many people doing so many things, too many things for me to name them all. But all of it is in an effort to keep us alive so that this church can be here to minister to us all, so that we can be a shelter and a launching pad. Thank you for all of you that have said yes to the work of this church. I am, and I know we are all so deeply grateful. But as someone who has been known to volunteer from time to time, I know that this is not completely without reward. Okay? I reached out to a very random sampling of volunteers to get their feedback on what they have gotten from volunteering. I read so many beautiful emails. I wish I could quote them all. I wish I could name everyone. What I heard was about connection and living into one's values of transformation, spiritual and personal growth. Karen and Wendy and Tony all told me about the deep connections and long-lasting friendships that they had come from their volunteer work here. E said, I volunteer at First UU because it gives me a greater sense of purpose and connection during times where I have felt alone in this world. A few told me about how volunteering helps them to live into their values. David Nunn said he sees his volunteer work as an extension of his spiritual beliefs. Susie Riddle, who says she volunteers because she feels it's important to contribute to her community. Others said, when you see a thing, you gotta do it. Volunteering is also a way of exploring not just other parts of the church, but also other parts of who we are. Tomas Medina told me that volunteering was transformative for him. He changed the way he saw himself and how he engages in this world. And almost everyone to a T said that volunteering had deepened them spiritually. Ernest DeMarico told me that volunteering gave them the spiritual boost they needed to get through this time. Anne said that volunteering nourishes her soul. Again, there were just so many beautiful messages. I was living in such a beautiful place yesterday reading them all. But overall, the takeaway is that volunteering, even though it is giving of your time, also has many transformative gifts for the volunteer. Because the work of the church is work of spiritual growth, whether it's straightening the back of pews or setting on the board or leading a small group. Because there's so much to be done, y'all. There is so much. If you haven't volunteered before, just know we have things for you to do. Don't worry about that. And you don't have to be intimidated. There's always something to do. Leo Callis told me that not only does he see volunteering as selfish spiritually, which I love, but also that it has taught him that he doesn't have to know exactly what to do. Just doing the thing is a gift to others. And he said, that's something I can do even when I'm not 100% sure of what I'm doing, and I'm never 100% sure of what I'm doing. Volunteering is powerful, and it is important because we are the ones that keep our church alive. We are an unusual group of people. No creed, no common deity. We come from a variety of backgrounds. We have no promises of an eternal reward. No, I think we have a lot more than that. We have a religion that provides the space to responsibly explore all the questions and that does not put pressure on us to have the answers. We have a community where we can learn and grow and heal, where we can fall out with one another and come back. James Luther Adams said that church is where you come to learn to be human. I think sometimes that means it's where we come to be messy and then to work back to wholeness. We have a faith that motivates us towards justice and holds us even when life is scary. And we have one another. We benefit from those who came before us, from those that have done the work of building this church, who have done the mundane and the spectacular and everything in between. And we continue to shelter those who will come next Sunday or next year or years from now. And all of that is made possible because of those of you who said yes. Now, if it's not uncomfortable for you, I would like for those of you who have said yes to either stand or raise your hands so that we can all give you some appreciation and love. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I wish I had my signs up here. That would have made more sense. Now, if you haven't gotten to volunteer yet, if you haven't engaged in the church, no, that's totally fine. That's great. Sometimes that's not where you are in your process of church going. Sometimes life is chaotic and you need to come here and just let it be a sanctuary. I totally get that. But just so you know, when you're ready, we have opportunities for you to engage and to grow. We have many, many ways of you to say yes. Yes to the work of nourishing souls. Yes to the work of transforming lives. And yes to the work of doing justice so we can build the beloved community. Can't wait for you to say yes.
Please join me in the words by which we extinguish our chalice. We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we hold in our hearts until we are together again.
Before we leave the sanctuary and go spend a different kind of sacred time with one another, be blessed. In all that you do, may you feel a lightness even in times of heaviness. May you feel held even when you're alone. And may you know that you matter and what you do matters and that you are loved beyond measure. Go in peace.
This is a production of the First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin. For more information, go to our website at austinuu.org.